cumbia de la
Take it away.
Hey, welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi. This is, of course, a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. This is an unusual, unplanned episode, but Jan actually went to Melody Festival in 2025 in Stockholm in the Strawberry Arena, and he met with Karin from the 12P podcast, who was one of our guests in episode 123, and they went to Stockholm. They met up there for Fika and recorded a little update. So let's hear it from them. We're going to Stockholm now, building a bridge to Stockholm to Jan and Karin.
I don't see better outcome how to finish my own Melo journey than chatting with you, Karin. So thank you again for joining us and me in this time, this conversation.
Thank you.
Melo is behind us. It's been quite a, we could say, dramatic one. But what do you think, like, how, what are your first impressions about it? What do you think, what kind of show was actually on Saturday?
I mean, my conclusion from this Melody Festival in 2025 is, show-wise, it's been one of the best Melody Festival in years. The script and the hosts have been so, so, so good. And regarding the results, I mean, it's uncharted waters for Sweden. This is the first time ever, I think, Sweden has sent, is going to send a jokey comedy entry to Eurovision Song Contest. And I mean, the people wanted it. The juries seemed to want it. I was shocked that the juries enjoyed Kai as much as we did.
Because sometimes they don't really go for it.
No, the jokey entries. We tend to have like one or two jokey entries or a bit more accessible entries, if you will, usually in Swedish. And they tend to do perform fairly well, but they end up in like maybe fourth place at best. But because the juries go for the very, very polished and professional entries, like Samir and Victor is a duo, like a comedy duo thing, and like their songs are super popular.
But I loved it.
Yes,
in 2016, it was such an amazing. I love it. We should put the reference here for all of it. No, but like Samir and Victor, I remember like them in 2016. I think it still remains as the most viewed video on Melody Festival YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I think there's a misconception that Swedes don't like the jokey accessible entries. We do, but we just don't send them to Eurovision. Eurovision is somehow very, very serious and very important to us. So we send the very, very polished entries because we want to do well. We want to do well with the judges. We want to do well with the audience.
And also, like, if we just switch back a little bit to the language, Barabarabastu is the first Swedish Eurovision entry, which is apparently also confirmed that it will stay in Swedish after 1998, the first time after 1998. This is also a brave move for Sweden, but also from the other hand, it feels like the fandom is also behind Sweden this time, because it's like very organic. People are saying, you know, I'm playing in a car, you know, it's if you are in a bad mood, you just play it and you're feeling just amazingly. So what do you think? Usually in Sweden, they leave the performances as they are for the Eurovision stage. Do you think they should even change something, or do you think it should work there as it is?
I mean, I seriously do want them to get naked on stage. I think that would be great, because no one steps into a sauna fully clothed. So I think I would love it if they would do some like creative placement of the birch whip, and
they can be naked, but with a thongs anyway.
So. Exactly. I would love that. I mean, if we're gonna send a jokey comedy entry, I mean, let's go all the way. Honestly, get naked, like final chorus, just rip it off. I would love that. Go all the way.
12 songs in the final. One of them in Swedish, 11 of them in English, obviously. So do you think that, like, Kai never really intended to actually go to Eurovision? Since, like, I was just checking a few days ago, and when the artists and the songs were announced, they were, like, betting odds. And they were on the last place in order of who was supposed to win. Obviously, Måns Zelmerlöw was on top of it because, like, his huge name in Sweden and, you know, in Eurovision world. But, like, do you think that's also an impact of social media, or of also that the song is, like, super, super catchy, very contagious?
So contagious. Do you mean the reason why they chose to do it in Swedish, or if they...
Yeah.
I mean, I do think... I have this theory that 90% of the entries, they know they're not going to... They have no chance of winning. But I do think if you are entering into competition, you have to have that in the back of your head that, I mean, you might win this whole thing. And that means that you go into Basel.
Do you think that this has some sort of impact now for the upcoming Mello edition? Is it, like, more the artists will try and do something in Swedish? Because, like, over the years, there was, like, so many... I don't know, Swedish winning songs at the Melody Festival, and they always revamped it and translated it into English. So do you think this is going to be some sort of habit now? Do you think it will impact other artists who will be applying for Melody Festival in the next editions?
I do sadly think, because I don't tend to really like the jokey entries. This one I like because it's a good song. It's very contagious, as you said, and very, very catchy. I do think that it's going to impact, that it's going to be more joke entries, like comedy entries. And I think we need to steer away a little bit from that. You have to find a good balance between joyful, authentic, and funny. You know, because the thing that makes this song good is that it doesn't make fun of the competition. It doesn't insult Eurovision. It's very Eurovision in and of itself, because it's such a bizarre concept.
Yeah.
And some would say it's very shallow, and I'm fine with that.
Sometimes shallow stuff are actually really good.
Yes, we don't need to overcomplicate things. Because I also think that the criticism that Sweden often receives is that it's too polished, it's too boring, too bland, too generic. And I think that, to put it plainly and simply, the Swedish generic pop ballad or pop song, it's just out of style. We're bored of it. It's gone out of style. And this very catchy, some people are finding it a bit insulting to say it's TikTokified.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's just a sign of the times, isn't it? And we have to move with the times.
And TikTok now actually are saying what kind of trends we have right now.
Exactly. And I mean, we can complain about it as much as we want, but trends are trends for a reason. People want it. And yeah.
So we said a lot of Kai, and we also have to say a word too also about Måns. His returning performance was, you know, it all depends on your taste, but, like, if you're objective about how good at how amazingly done and produced the performance was, no one could actually say it wasn't, because it was really well done.
It was really, really good. It was really good. And I do think it would have done really well in Eurovision. I'm not surprised that he didn't win, because, like I said, I think it's something, a sign of the times that we go for something completely different. I will defend Måns. I think he gets a lot of criticism for being everywhere all at once in Eurovision terms. But it was just time for something different. People were excited about Kai. And it's not like Måns performed poorly. Ending up in second place is really, really good.
It is really good. But also, again, Melody Festival is such a huge platform, you know? So if you have this in your mind, just that you have a chance to promote your song on that stage, it will do very well, no matter the outcome. But what about, let's say, okay, we talked Kai, we talked Måns. Do you have any other highlights of the evening, of the final one at the Mello? So what was standing out for you? Who was the biggest shocker of the evening? All of that.
I mean, my personal favorite was Griesula. I love that type of music. I love his rock star just air about him. I love that. I'm so glad that he performed so well. He's a debuting artist, debuting songwriters in Melfest. and he ended, came in third, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that's a really, really good result.
It was one of the songs which doesn't give you, because like I would say that those mellow songs, sometimes they have this trademark on them.
Yeah.
Like you can hear it, like it's not even Eurovision, because it's like
Melfest.
It's very Melfest, exactly. Yeah. But like I think that his song was actually, maybe it was written for Mel, we never know, but like it seems like it was just a new work from him, which he performed really well.
Yeah, I loved it. I love the sound of it, and because it's something that we haven't really encountered in Melfest before. That whole 70s, 80s sound, I really, really liked it. And I also think that Clara did so, so well. I know that people think that the song is generic, and yeah, sure, why not? But I think she's great. She's only getting better, and I'm so happy that she did so well. I'm not surprised that Dolly Style performed as well as they did, because I mean, you can think whatever you want that it's a band for children and whatever, but they are four very professional young women,
and their marketing works really well.
So, so good. I mean, show wise. The return of Petra Mede.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly.
What was the most hilarious bit of the show, I would say?
Yes, and also, this is one thing that I keep talking about, and the same goes for Eurovision. I mean, we have to stop trying to appeal to families with children. We have to start an appeal towards the gays, because the queers are the ones that make the show survive.
It's true.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you do a very campy, joyous, funny, gay script and entertain, I mean, kids love that. Kids love that.
Because, like, it's always, like, I would say in this kind of, we were talking about this also off this episode, but, like, it really is funny whenever you're doing this kind of script. Kids used to love it because they're you know, they always based on a funny jokes.
Yeah.
And they're quick, you know, and the audience like this. It works well, but I really think that like being brave in putting that, it's not really brave in Sweden, you know, but like on the other hand, it's still national television, but it's so good to see something like that in between and still putting a show like inside of 2 hours of time slot, having 12 songs performing, voting. I mean, it's, I would say, the only way the Swedes can do it.
I mean, I was so, so happy with so many of the gags were so good. I mean, the fact that Kayo came in and just did like a, pretended to be Kayo, and that went completely uncommented. I love that. That was so good. They had Sim Malmqvist, who is like one of the most beloved artists who have competed in Germany and Sweden and Eurovision several times. Like, she was just there for like a cameo for 3 seconds. Love that. Lily and Susie,
oh my God,
were there for like a minute and a half. I mean, they really like took out the Rolodex and just phoned friends and like, could you do this? Like, it's just 30 seconds for TV. And I love that. I love that so much. Like,
love the Lily and Susie bit. It was amazing.
I loved it so much.
Like, having this, I would say, track on the stage, on the final one. It was amazing. Also, we didn't talk about the opening act, which happened.
Let's do it. We had Miss Nemo. Miss Nemo. I mean, okay. They are the reigning champion of Eurovision. And to have the reigning champion at Melfest is such a great booking. That is, I was so, so happy that they booked them. I was not too happy about the acoustic version of the Code. I would have liked it to have been a bit more bombastic, because that song is so bombastic and so interesting. And I think that's what I'm going to say about it. It could have been a lot more.
No, I really, like, as you said before, it was such a great way to see, to keep the final, for the grand final, the current Eurovision winner. And I have to say, like, it was performed really well. Just, like, the only thing which I can agree here with you is, like, this acoustic version somehow left me, I don't know how to say, but, like, I was waiting for a, you know, something additionally here, but like it left me bland instead of start with building some adrenaline for the show, you know what I mean? Like that was the part which was missing for me.
Yeah, I am happy that they didn't do like, this is my new single, like that made me really happy. Like, we want to hear the winning song.
Yeah.
That's really what we want to hear, so I'm glad that they didn't do that.
Maybe some, since this is obviously a bonus episode, but like, what is our conclusion for 2025 edition, and what are you personally mostly looking forward for the next year, or maybe before? How will Sweden do in Basel?
I mean, this is the first time in many years that I can honestly say that. I honestly don't know. This is a year with several jokey entries.
Yeah, it never happened before.
No. And I think that's also a sign of the times, that we want something that's very lighthearted right now. I mean, the state of the world as it is at this moment. So I get that. Sweden would do well? Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I think Sweden would do well. Will Sweden win? I don't know. We will see. I mean, I was so surprised that the juries in Melfest were so positive towards Kai. So maybe, yeah, possibly. But, I mean, I would have been a lot more convinced of like a top three spot had we sent someone like Mons or even Griesula.
Yeah.
Now I'm not so sure. I'm fairly certain that it's going to qualify because it's such a funny song and such a catchy song.
Let's save it maybe for the main get back to this episode to see. I predict, since it's televote only, I predict first place in the semifinal.
Oh, I'd love that. I would love that so much.
We will see about what happened in the finals, though, because you always have the juries in between. But like, I wouldn't mind winning them the semifinal, or actually winning the whole thing again.
Why not? And I mean, this being the year of jokey entries, you still have to, as a part, if you're a member of the jury, you still have to assess the song and the entry from that professional point of view. So you still have to look at it. Is it a good production? Is it a good show? Is it a good song? Are they performing it well? Like that, all of those criteria, you can still judge being it a joke entry or not.
That would be it, Karin. Thank you so much again for joining us for like, what, two episodes in almost a row? We love that. So we hope to hear from you more in the upcoming season. We will definitely have an update about both Sweden and Eurovision. And for everyone who still is missing or maybe on its way to learn some Swedish, maybe you can have some final words for your own podcast.
Yes, if you wanted to listen to some historical deep dives and analysis in Swedish about both Sweden and Eurovision as a whole, you can listen to my podcast, 12 Poäng, 1-2 Poäng. I'm always happy to join you guys.
Thank you so much, and happy Eurovision in advance.
Happy Eurovision!